produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings and Merry Christmas. I am Kayla Padgett, CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Networks USA World. I would love to greet our listeners around the world and every single country. A special shout out to my brothers and sisters in Seoul, South Korea. 안녕하세요. 한국어 주마주하는데 행복의 주말로 가서 살고 싶어서 행복의 문화 역사 오늘 공부하고 있어요. 네, 감사합니다. And thank you all so very much. I would like to inform you and congratulate Bishop William S. Wright Radio Network USA World. And please take note and mark your calendars that the Need for Liberty radio broadcast on Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, will be aired on the Bishop William S. Wright Radio Network USA World. May God bless you as you enjoy the broadcast.
Hello, I am Chief Chi from South Africa, and you are listening to the Christmas special on the Need for Liberty radio broadcast.
Yes! Yes! Let it ring out. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Yes. 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 Sister, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yeah.
The gospel according to St. John chapter 3. Everyone have it. Let me hear you say amen. My lesson text will be coming from a very familiar scripture. That is verse 16 out of St. John chapter 3, verse 16. A scripture that most people... And when I say most, that's been in the church any length of time, it's one of the first scriptures they almost learned. As a matter of fact, many of you know it by heart as a kid when you was going to vacation Bible school and so on and so forth. This is one of the pet scriptures that you were taught. Very formidable scripture, one that basically expresses God's love for us. And it states that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now you must note the fact that most people, as I say, learn that scripture. They know how to quote it, and we said, God so loved. And we just sometimes just stop at that particular scripture and use it as a basis for our entire life. But when you really study the scripture, the 17th verse is the support base for that 16th. it reads, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's the key right there. Hello, somebody. And the world has the opportunity basically to reach back out to God as he's reached out to us. Hymnal writer, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. God, I know no other help I know, no other way I know, no other, however it is, I need you to stretch them back to me. But the premise of this is that God loves us so. And that's why we're here today, because God so loved the world. Now, we can't misconstrue that when we say he so loved the world, and we mix that up with the world actions. We are in the world, but not of the world. Hello, somebody. Talking about the saints, that is. And so, yes, that it would, Jesus stated, I would that all men would be saved. Wants everyone to be, but that is a choice that have to be made. On this day that we call Christmas, I want to talk about the greatest gift of all. Noting the fact that when we think about the massive amounts of monies that have been spent around this globe and trying to make people happy that don't even like you. We spent massive amounts of monies basically, and you hadn't even got straightened out from last Christmas. Oh, boy. But not only that, this day that we celebrate, this celebratory moment that we are engulfed in even now, the question has to be posed at some point. Are we really respecting the aim of these scriptures? Or are we disrespecting the aim of these scriptures by how we perform? Nothing is wrong with our exchanging of the gifts. Nothing is wrong with the services that we have. And we come to say that we come to worship the Lord. There's many ways that people are quote unquote and celebrating this day. Matter of fact, some is home right now. Some is around the card table. There are some champagne corks being popped. Some are watching the games, the parades. There are others that are at the casino. And they are calling on Jesus' name, but not in a worshipful manner. And so the ways that we, quote unquote, celebrate this day, we have to ask ourselves, is God satisfied with us? I know that many hearts are broken on days like this because people are not able to measure up and do what they would like to do for loved ones. And not only this, it presents so many other type of activities. Homes have been broken in, and people's possessions have been stolen that they work hard trying to please folk. And somebody else running down the street with their possessions. Then you have other things that transpire that's going to be residual after this day is gone. The utility is going to come due. The house note's going to come due. The car payments are going to come due. Insurance will be facing and looking you in the face. But then we have inundated stores with folk that don't even care anything about this day, but just glad that it's coming. Billions of dollars. I thought I just went out to the mall on yesterday because I'm last minute. And I went out there and I thought they said this was a recession. But you could not tell it the moment you pulled on the lot. You could not hardly make a move through the mall, folks bumping, and everybody had a bag. Macy's was full. Dillard's was full. People was buying, and they wasn't buying too much cheap stuff, because in the malls I was in, they don't have a lot of two-for-ones. So the people had the money on what they wanted to have the money for. Hello? Living for the moment is God satisfied. 10 minutes gone. I ain't got but 10 more. Here we talk about a gift, the exchanging of gift. This day called Christmas, Satan has worked his plan almost to perfection. Over the last 10 years, they've already causing us to withdraw from the name whereby we celebrate this day. Matter of fact, some of y'all in here doing it right now. Even got a few texts. Happy holiday. What holiday is it? Is it the 4th? Is it Labor Day? Holiday, according to the Webster, is a day that the government set aside to give us a day off because of specified activity. Really, truly, when you look at the Latin, the holiday simply means holy day. But then if you're going to call Valentine a holiday, that ain't holy. 4th of July, just another day. You call that a holiday. You call Labor Day holiday. Huh? And so the fact of the matter is, what day is it? The only reason that the banks ain't opening tomorrow. The only reason the postman not running tomorrow. Only reason most of you all in here not going to even go to work tomorrow is because of a day called Christmas. Only reason that schools are shut down to January is because of one day, and that day called Christmas. All I know is other celebrations going on during this time whereby people say we don't want to offend. And the problem is the Christians got their head in the mud. And everybody else is running rampant with their agenda. And we have catered. And I know it's some smart folks. I don't see nothing wrong with Happy Holiday. Well, read the Bible and you'll find out what's wrong with it. The fact of the matter is, if we are constantly giving up everything we do to the world in the offense of not wanting to offend, we are being offended. Everything now takes precedence. You can't use the word Christ if you got a cross. Look like every church in the world ought to go over there to Whiteville, Tennessee and say, we're going to stand with these folk. Can't put a cross up, you get sued for that. Coming down that you can't preach about certain things. That's on the way. I got enough bail money. I'm going to jail. And the fact of the matter is that we sitting here watching it and it's business as usual. Why are we here? Is God satisfied? Happy holiday. Now people won't even stop using the word save. They don't even like to use the word born again. Hallelujah. Well, the fact of the matter is God being respected or disrespected? What do you mean, Brother Pastor? Let me keep going. The industry now are catering more to the world than it is to the church. church the most talked about place. Everybody got a problem with it. But it's always been the backbone of the human race. Always has. We're giving up more space. We're giving up ample worship time for idle time. Happy holiday. Well, Christmas simply means Christ Mass. In the Latin, it always, the derivative of the rhyme, the word Christ, celebrating the birth. And the only way you can appreciate the birth, you have to know the history. Now, most of the time that you talk about the history, you only can go to Bethlehem. But you got to know how you get to Bethlehem. First of all, you have to know how Jesus is here and why he's here. 42 generations, when it was prophesied that he was coming from Abraham this way, you will find out in the historical writings of Matthew that the genealogy of Jesus was not only interesting but profound and important. So Matthew traces Jesus' lineage through Joseph, while Luke traces Jesus' lineage through Mary. Now, what we have to understand that both of these lineages was necessary in order that the prophecy would be fulfilled. With that being said, you will find out that there are some people in Jesus' lineage that was Gentiles as well as Jews. So Jesus really has in his lineage, even while we just only depict him as a Jew, he has Gentile blood in him also. That's the reason God could not say, I just came to save the Jew. God so loved the world. Hello, somebody. Now, he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, not just the Jew. So when you got adopted into the body of Christ, you have all the inalienable rights that any Jew had. And so nobody can claim direct ownership to him. An adoption, when you adopt a child, that child takes on your attributes. Whether that child is of your blood, when you adopt him, that child takes your name. He becomes a legal heir to you. So we become heirs and joint heirs with Christ when we are adopted into the body of Christ. No, you may not be what is called as a naturalized Jew. But because you became adopted, whatever you look like, you became Jew by your adoption. You're in the body. Now that you're in the body, you can claim all the rights. God is your father. You're a child. You're a king's kid. You're not just haphazardly just here for the sake of being here, but you're in the genealogy. Now, in Jesus' lineage, included different kinds of people, because you got some people think that I came on the right side of the track. It don't make no difference what side of the track you come from. Keep looking on that track, and you'll find your track ain't that cool either. First of all, you have four women that we record that's in the genealogy. One named Rahab, other named Ruth, one named Tamar, another one named Bathsheba. Now, when you look at Rahab and Ruth, they were Gentiles. You look at Tamar and Bathsheba, they were Jews. But look at the character of Rahab, Tamar, Bathsheba, and Ruth.
When you look at Rahab, she was a harlot. Harlot, modern day term, professional prostitute. Tamar and Bathsheba was known adulteresses. Ruth was the only one really considered to be a pure woman. But here we go again. God so loved. Jesus come through that bloodline. Get into Matthew. Matthew begins to depict after the birth, you deal with a young child. When you deal with the baby that's come, you go over to Luke. Luke has the account of him being the babe. Three different accounts of Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Mark does not start off with any lineage. Mark basically deals with him as a grown man. But Matthew and Luke and Mark are considered what they call synoptic Gospels, which simply means they wrote about the same man, about the same time, about the same place, and had the same connotation, just wrote to different people. Matthew wrote to the Jew, Mark wrote to the Roman, Luke wrote to the Greek. And all of them had their variations based on the people that they wrote to. But when you get to John said not writing any specific group, but he wrote universal. And he starts off with in the beginning. You start with the birth, let me start before he was born. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. I'm almost through. If I had a voice, I've been there. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, was with God. And there was not a thing made without him. So he was there from the beginning. Now we get to the point that we oftentimes, when we hear the Christmas story, we stay at the manger. Most of the songs are way in the manger. We talk about three wise men. Who told you it was three? The Bible said that the wise men came from the east. As a matter of fact, it wasn't the wise men that got there first, no how. You check the scriptures out, you get to wise men, they find them in Matthew. But when you get over to Luke, you'll find out that it was the shepherds that basically that was there at the manger, and when they saw him, they worship him. This is the key why we're here. That's why we have service on Christmas. Y'all have a service where if you're gonna play games on Christmas, why we can't have service? The Lord's Day. Hello, somebody. And so now you have the wise men that are following a star. Because the prophecy, when the star stands still, when the star stops, you'll find that Savior. The Word then got back to King Herod. And King Herod now begins to kill children from 2 years old and under, because when by time the wise men get to where Jesus is, he's about 2 years old. Just check your Bible out, and they don't find him in a manger. They find him in a house. He's growing up. Most of us stay at the manger. Reason they say it was three wise men, not because in number, but because of the gifts. But it was way more than three. When you go to looking at the Bible, they had three different gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh that was presented. Fact of the matter is that as they was traveling and as they was pursuing and following the star, you ought to tell somebody to follow the star. Yeah, and the star ain't Jay-Z. No, the star ain't Beyonce. The star ain't Oprah. Hello. And follow the star. And as they followed the star, by time they come to the geographics of where Jesus was, young child. And you got to understand that in this day here that we celebrate, we only deal with the birth and stay there. That's fine. You have a birthday. Most of you in here that are able to hear and talk, you have a birthday, but you didn't stay at the first one you had. You keep thanking God for every birthday you have. The fact of the matter is that we're reminiscing of the fact that he was born, but we stay at the manger too long. And that's the end of the story. That you got to leave the cradle. Tell somebody and get to the cross. You was limited at the cradle. He was there at the cradle, but limited. He was a baby. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. What no miracle perform at the cradle? Miracles that they did see was a host, a heavenly host. But Jesus didn't command that. God commanded. The host, the angels they looked up was praising him. Glory to the highest. But at the cradle, you had Jesus had little arms up. Won't Mary Joseph or one of them mothers, sisters, and brothers. Won't Mary Joseph pick him up. He had to cry at the cradle. He had to be changed at the cradle. Huh? Had to be picked up and birthed. He was not no baby that came here talking. Could you imagine Jesus one day old talking about, hey, Mary, give me some milk? He was a babe. And right now, that's where the mentality of the church, we still at the cradle. We still dealing with the baby, sweet little baby Jesus boy. Still at the cradle. Hallelujah. But you had to go from the cradle. You see him growing up. He's 12 years old now. You see him start talking to doctors and lawyers. Amazing them. Then you see a period where you don't see anything until he gets 30. Then at 30 years old, you see him going into ministry. Thank God for this day that we call Christmas. Thank God that he was born of a virgin. And many mass was said around in the different organizations that references Mary as a icon in that lineage, an icon within some organizations within that order of ecclesiastical worship. They sang the song, Virgin, the Virgin Mary. Mary was a virgin one time. She was a virgin before Jesus was born. But after Jesus, Mary wasn't a virgin no more. You get on that 13th chapter of Matthew, find out she had at least four brothers Jesus had. Then he had at least three sisters. So he was the only one that came here by way of a virgin. So the term Virgin Mary could only be used prior to Jesus. You can't use Virgin Mary no more. Just like some of y'all up in here, you can only use it one time. Ain't no need of you dwelling on it no more. Y'all can look at your Bibles all you want. That day over with. At the cradle, had a lot of activity going on. You had a lot of things being dispensed. But when the angels got through worshiping, when the wise men go back to the east, then what do you do? He has to go down into Egypt. That scripture has to be fulfilled. Had to go into Egypt because Herod heard about this boy. Now he's killing children from 2 years old.
Jesus,
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.